Log Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and good afternoon. This is Tawanda with Another Chance to Bridge the Gap. We are here to serve and help people regardless of race, color, creed, or religion. Our mission is to help bridge the gap between people in prison with family, friends, and people in the community. We know and realize that society is in trouble and that we are the change we want to see in the world. Our mission is to build and rebuild relationships with our families, friends, and even our communities in order to meet a common goal of helping the people. Our mission also is to be able to give a better life to our children than the life we have lived. Our mission is to live and not die, to be a part of the solution and not the problem. Today, we're talking to Randy Cohen out of Chicago in reference to something that's very near and dear to all of our hearts. I got a message the other day from Randy when I woke up, and the title of it, or the first part of it, said, "Hate can never defeat hate." And I said, wow, that is absolutely powerful. So before we get into everything for today, I just want to go out and say, Randy, are you there, and how are you doing today?
I'm here. I'm good. Enjoying the good Monday in Chicago. A little bit frazzled by the weekend, but overall good.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we know why we're here. And like I said, when I woke up and I saw a text from you and it said, hate cannot defeat hate. And that really pierced my heart. And just really with the information that I got from you on the text message was really heart-wrenching. So I got a couple of questions I really want to ask, a few things I really want to talk about today. And one of the first questions, to kind of go back to the beginning, I wanted to ask, when you first heard about the riot in Minneapolis, we all know and understand what happened with Charles Floyd. We all understand in reference to what's actually going on with litigation in reference to the police that was involved in that. So when you first heard about the riot over in Minneapolis, what were some of your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I want to say, obviously our prayers go out to the Floyd family and anybody else who's been affected by, the recent events, especially his. You never want to see when something like that happens, but it did. So, I mean, I think my first thought on it, like anybody else, I'm in Chicago, and you feel like you're obviously removed from it because it's not taking place in your home or in your own backyard. I really didn't pay that much attention to it. I understood it was a white on black type situation. I heard about it in the press a bit. And then obviously as it picked up momentum, obviously the media made it more well known of what was going on. And I guess the channels that I watch in reference to media came to carry it a lot more. I guess, again, like anybody else, until it starts really hitting in your own backyard, you really don't give it that much attention, Now, again, I'm a guy in Chicago. I see a lot of issues, whether it's black and white, and a lot of it is an everyday occurrence, So it didn't come across to me from the very beginning as something that was that remarkably different, even though it's terrible. So when the media started to really communicate it, and then especially communicate the fact that how bad it was and how obvious it was that there's potentially something wrong with how it was handled, it becomes more of an issue, I live in a city where there's relatively new mayor. She's black. There's a new police chief. He's black. So these issues are super important. And I think they get a better platform than they used to get when there was a strictly white force handling everything pretty much in Chicago. So as I became aware of it, it started to gain momentum. I'm old enough to know when there was riots out on the West Coast and things like that and what caused that. So I really never thought that, boy, it's going to trigger into the same thing or worse. So it didn't seem that necessarily bad, But again, when I think about the people I spoke to, and especially black people, it's a trigger. You know, it's something that they obviously, they're super alert to it, as they should be. But again, I didn't treat it as really that much different. I guess that's part of this problem, you know, is there's groups of people out there that, you know, aren't really thinking this is that major of an issue. So, you know, as we move forward in this conversation, you know, people who support protests and organize protests, you know, this is why they do them.
Definitely understand. And just looking, actually, George Floyd died May 25th. Seemed like it was much longer than that because so much has happened in such a short time. But, yeah, I had to look that up just to verify the date. But, yeah, that was May 25th. So, yeah, so a lot has happened. And like you just referenced to different people in power over in Chicago. But one of the things, Randy, in reference to when you heard about and found out in reference to the actual riot in Minneapolis and the places that was damaged and everything that happened, number one, was that a surprise to you? And number two, did you ever think it would trickle down and come to your city?
You know, it wasn't a surprise because, like I said, I'm old enough to have seen a few situations like this unfold. And even though I've never really seen one in Chicago firsthand, I think when they were really prevalent in Chicago was in the 60s. I was a little young. There might have been another one in the 70s, but again, I was a little too young to understand it. I didn't think it would be, but as you think about it and the tools that we have in the media now to utilize, it doesn't surprise me that it's taken on such enormous life since the 25th. I mean, we're only talking about a week or so ago, right? So, I mean, the traditional media that used to be around, now we've got something that, you know, it can spread immediately, you know. And the other thing, I guess, that surprised me so much was that, and it still surprises me, is that this took over everything, including Corona. The emotions, the media, the attention, the momentum. I mean, as I'm watching this riot unfold in Chicago from my house above, I'm thinking to myself, a lot of these people are the same people 3 days ago that didn't want to step in a store without a mask and gloves. And, you know, they're crawling over one another. And it's just so it obviously was a motivator to really move people, to really get them going here. And I didn't think it would go, you know, again, being so removed in another place, I was so surprised to see Chicago erupt the way it did on Saturday night, and as it did with most cities. It was actually surprising, and it's super, super sad, super sobering, tremendous lesson for my family. For many reasons, just not a black issue, but just a humanity issue. I think that's the biggest thing that it just shocked me.
Mm. Yeah, definitely incredible. And just really to see what happened in Atlanta, I looked at some information and references what happened in Philadelphia, and it's literally been trickling all over. So one of my next questions for you, Randy, is this. How does peaceful protesting go wrong? Because there's a big difference between protesting and a riot. So in your opinion, how does that go wrong?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And I had the unfortunate pleasure of getting really an understanding of this weekend. So I live in downtown Chicago, affluent area. I'm up on the 30th floor. I have the ability to get, you know, on a lower floor. And I watched on Saturday night from about 1 o'clock in the afternoon when I was driving through a protest, fast forward to about 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. And I can literally, from my vantage point, see multiple streets in the Chicago area by the river, by Trump Tower. So right in the heart of everything, I can sit up top and sit there and watch this unfold. And I did. And it was mesmerizing. And I can tell you, it's funny that you can see how this happens. I can watch a protest moving down the street. I can see the policemen accompany it. I can watch it. I can see it peaceful. I can hear what they're saying. And then slowly, one person will grab a pipe, a pole, or something, and they'll throw it through a window or throw it through something. And it's almost like it ignites another portion of people. And it's really weird because if you watch this group of people as they walk through the city, and again, I'm above this watching this, you can see a select number of people that peel off and start feeling that they have the right to do the wrong thing. And I give you a great example. Right below me, there's very large restaurant bars and outdoor seating. And these people made the mistake of leaving, you know, probably 30 stools out in their outside dining area. And for hours, there was no issues. And then finally, somebody picked up one of those stools and threw it and went through one of the windows of this bar. And that literally, that one move, after so many hours of people walking by it, that one move triggered multiple people to say, oh, okay, it's okay. Somebody's breaking stuff. I can let my anger out or whatever it is. So it was almost this group of people within the group that found that, okay, I got the okay. I can get crazy. I can get wild. And it literally on that block, square block area, from that point on, there wasn't anything you could do. The police could do anything. They cleaned out every bar and restaurant there. They busted the windows of the banks. They busted the CVS and looted it. And it all started with one chance or one issue to where there was this, okay, it's okay, somebody did this, but I can go and get let loose. And I like any other protest, I think there's purpose to them. I think without them, a lot gets lost. There are opportunities to really wake up humanity about certain things. And you always have the risk of a protest having a wrong element. You know, there's plenty of people to say that there was people planted within these groups to start these riots and things like that. But, I mean, you got to go beyond the whole issue in Minnesota, and you really start have to look at humanity. Anytime somebody can take something and throw it through a window and disconnect themselves from the people that run that place, own that place, have worked hard to meet that place going. They don't know if that owner's black, white, green. They have no idea. So anytime you have a human that doesn't have any regard for humanity, for other people, you're going to have this. I mean, there's another issue with black and white issue. If you understand humanity and we're all in this together, it doesn't matter colors. When you have that hatred, and however that hatred's built, and I understand black population has plenty of reasons to have a lot of stored up hatred, but it's all about an overall humanity and just respecting one another, respecting life. I was so surprised, and I got to tell you what, I felt, and my neighbors felt who are black, just total violation because it supposedly had nothing to do with this cause.
You know what? You really said a lot, and I could actually really just feel you as you're saying that. And that's why when I get to this call, I tell you, hate can never defeat hate. Two things I want to share with you, and definitely want to dialogue with you about it. I happened to stroll across Instagram, and I saw that LL Cool J had actually posted something for about an hour and 15 minutes. And he was basically talking about and saying on his Instagram, on the IGTV, I'm sorry. And he had said he had posted a question on Twitter. And, you know, people, I guess, were giving him flack about the question that he posed. And one of the things he was asking about is, what does someone that's biracial do during a time like this? Like couples, like what's the conversation like? And people were just kind of saying different things to him. But one of the things he said is, regardless of what we do in life, we should choose to do something that's going to help us to win. And that, out of everything he said, that stuck with me. So a couple of things you mentioned about the worldwide pandemic, which is still going on. Well over 100,000 people have died. And a lot of places are not fully even open yet. However, all across the country, you got people piling out outside all over each other to do something that's not going to help us win. Do you think that people even understand that? I understand being mad. I understand being angry. Everyone that saw this on the TV was Floyd, of course, angry, literally angry. When you think about different things that other people have been through, of course we're angry. However, sometimes we can't let that cloud our judgment and not choose to still win. So what do you think usually is the difference between that? Because as you said, hate cannot defeat hate.
Yeah, you know, I think it's so sad because when you look at some major events, let's look at 9/11. I think 9/11 was one of the few times in my lifetime that I felt an entire solidarity in America. I think that everybody, because we were supposedly assaulted by an outside party, perhaps, that this was a chance, and there was no colors, really. I mean, you can see people standing in the chaos of 9/11, white, green, black, together, and that they were just that. They were together. They were Americans. They were humanity, you know? And I guess I don't understand, and, you know, this comes at a very, very, very difficult time for America as well, because we've got the entire population who's been cooped up, who've been herded around, who's put masks on, who can't go to stores, who's been all in this frustrating frame of mind for so long. And then to have this almost this pivotal event happen to almost give everybody a chance to scream, whether they're screaming about the fact that this poor gentleman was killed or they're screaming about the fact that they're frustrated, I just think it was a powder keg to go off. And I don't think people can think, their emotions take over. Their anger takes over. And, you know, certainly people who have gone through tougher times more than less are going to be a lot more frustrated and a lot more anger. And I think it comes from how we're raised and how we deal with our anger and how we deal with our frustration. Do we deal with it productively, like he says, or will we deal with it like savages and animals, okay? And there was every race in the world was pillaging. It just wasn't black. It just wasn't white or Spanish. It was everybody. How as a group do we not know how to handle frustration? Do we not know how to handle anger? Is that what we do? We get angry at our spouse and just punch them in the face? Some people do. Is that what we do? We get angry at our kids, throw furniture, break the windows, hit the kids? Some people do. How as a society do we go in each state? Look, in Chicago last night, the city loop was locked. Couldn't go anywhere. I was on an island. Had to show IDs to get back into the loop. So the story on the picture on the news today is because violence broke out in south of Chicago, you know, in the 4000 block. So you know, probably 3-4 miles south of the loop. So what is the story this morning? Oh, we're not giving the right resources to the black communities. We're giving them all to the white communities. That's why they rioted last night. They ruined everything. Well, listen, I mean, that's terrible. Why? In a lot of these black businesses, you have all these people destroying these businesses that they've built for years. I mean, down on 47th and Michigan Avenue in Chicago, these places have been food deserts for 4 years, 7 years, 10 years. They're just getting grocery stores. They're just getting people to invest in them. They're just getting the fact that these kids can have libraries and things like this. And you want to go and ruin them? You want to destroy them? I guarantee you, I can ask a good portion of those people destroying things, what's the name of the gentleman who was killed? They probably wouldn't be able to tell me. They would, mm-hmm. you know, they just wouldn't be able to. They would think his first name is Floyd. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just not, it's not right. So it's an outlet. This is an outlet of rage. And I get it. I get it. But as a society, how do we let such a group or huge number of people let rage out that way? I mean, I know why now there's so many battered spouses, you know, husbands or wife, battered children, so many fights, so many killings, white on white, black on black. You know? I mean, what are you going to do with all this rage? If it wasn't that, it would have been something else. It comes back to the fact that we have a society still, and that's what I looked when I was sitting looking out my window watching this unfold, is that I had believed that society was really at a good place. You trust them. You think everybody's going to do good. Leave my windows open at night. Leave my doors open at night. And now I'm 10 years back. I'm 10 years mm-hmm. back. You know, I don't want my daughters to walk the dog around the block tonight, tomorrow night. Now I have questions. Is someone going to be in a rage about something and just take it out on them, just one-on-one, not ever related to this? I mean, it just mentally, I don't know if it takes us back, but it reminds us how we haven't advanced. You know, many of these things that we're seeing in America, they've seen in Europe already. They've seen terrorism way, way before we have bad. They've seen riots and political riots bad. These are things that, as Americans, we have had a luxury not to have to deal with so much. But obviously now it's not the case. This is a big deal, and it's just, I guess it's not disappointing. It's just a wake-up call, I guess.
Okay. I definitely agree. Now, let me switch gears for a moment, Randy, and bring something to your attention to kind of get your feedback on it. There was an article. You might not have had a chance to see it before I sent it to you. But this is a guy by the name of Dan Bongino. He used to be a former New York Police Department, worked for New York NYPD, and with the Secret Service. Well, he actually had a show, as well as he made it to Fox News, saying protest agitators ready to burn down your city should be charged as domestic terrorists. And, of course, this video got a lot of different attention to it. Let's talk about what happens after riots and what happens after people are caught that actually terrorize a city and burn certain things down. Actually labeling them as domestic terrorists. What are some of your personal thoughts and opinions about that?
Well, I can go back to my watching this unfold. If I just talked about my little isolated experience, and I definitely saw instigators, and I saw instigators that had no interest in protesting, no interest in talking about what the cause was about. Their interest was busting and taking, you know? Okay, let's say you get heated up and you want to bust a window. All right, bust a window, move on, carry on, let's go. That's not a good thing. But when you start making and you volunteer to have a choice to walk into someone else's livelihood, their business, their home, their car, and take things, that's criminal. That's criminal. You know, there's going to be a point to where you cross the line. And busting the window is not the line. The line is walking into that store, taking things. You know, there was a thing, there was graffiti on a wall on State Street when I was driving yesterday, and it almost made my wife cry. And it said, "We won't ask, we'll take." And it was outside of a Target or a CVS, sprayed real big. And that's just what they did. And that is so far from what this cause is about. There's a line that you cross, and it's a line that you cross mentally that you think is okay. And that line, it's born, we're raised into it. As a child, you start getting conditioned to where things are all right and not all right. And when that line and that lesson is not learned or learned the wrong way, you're susceptible to do that. you know, you get criminals, a lot of criminals, including myself or anyone else who's been incarcerated, there's a point to where you were somehow programmed to think that the things you chose to do were okay. They were acceptable. And when you get in situations, how these things were programmed in your mind is how you act. So if you grew up in a situation to where all these marginal things were acceptable, that's acceptable for you to do. And I think it is criminal. Is it terrorism? I don't really know. I don't think I'm educated enough to say what a terrorist is and isn't a terrorist. I think that majority of these people, and I think it's opportunity. You know, I had somebody, not, I don't respect them very well, so I don't take their opinion. But the thing he pointed out was when all these things got busted open, how many people were taking things that they needed, work clothes, work glove, work boots, maybe kids things for themselves. They just taking booze and Nikes and things that were, you know, things that are joyful things. You know what I mean? I've seen looting done where people have had to take water and things like that. I get it. I get it. But I don't think it's ever acceptable to cross the line into anybody else's life and take things out of them. And I think it's built into us. I think it's how we're raised. And I think that's why I say it's a humanitarian problem of how people get raised and what they think is acceptable, you know? I mean, why do 100 people walk by the window where the Nikes are and the window's broken but don't touch it, and why do 10 do?
Mm. You know what? I definitely agree, and I know that there will be so much more happening in reference to that, because what I'm seeing all in the blogs and on the internet is people are just getting back to work. People are just getting back opening businesses, and now there's damages, and some people will, you know, not even be able to survive from this, and everyone is actually affected from it. So I'm not really sure what is going to happen. And, you know, just like you said, really a lot has changed over the last 10 years, 15 years, even 40 years. And as you felt like there was some progress being made, a 2 steps forward, 5 steps back. And today being June 1st, and we're almost halfway through this new decade, and we've already lost so many months and so much time, in addition to so many people, due to everything that's happened. So the last thing that I want to ask you, because we talk about being a part of the solution and not the problem. So let's talk about, in your opinion, some ways of being able to move forward. Hey, what's done is done. We can't go back and undo it. Hopefully we can prevent it before it happens tonight or this weekend or the next time. But what are some things that we can do, in your opinion, to be able to move forward?
Well, I mean, that's going to be a really, really difficult one, because, I mean, we've lost a lot of things in this course of this weekend. It's just, hang on one second here, because this is going to be interesting. I'm pulling in the city, and they're going to ID me, which is the weirdest thing in the world, because I live here and I'm getting ID to pull in the city, but I guess I won't be able to do that now. So, but moving forward, I guess is, I mean, we're going to have to follow the law. I mean, the law is what keeps us from killing one another at this point. You know what I mean? And I think we're going to have to evaluate. This is going to happen again. I just don't think there's one fix for it. You know what I mean? It's just an absolute step back. And I think it was a small group of people that destroyed something that was super important and still is very, very, very important. I think that they'll try to be criminal charges on a lot of people. I don't know if they'll be able to do it or not. I'm not quite sure there's a quick fix. I think we move forward, and I mean, it's not the first time a black gentleman has been, you know, killed by a police officer, white or black. I mean, in my city, we had a poor kid shot 14 times. So I'm not quite sure it's changed anything. I don't know what it's going to change. You know, is it able to change anything? I mean, I don't know. It's still too new. I mean, we're going to probably be dealing with a few more days of violence. My entire home, my entire neighborhood is locked down. So I'm not quite sure it's something that's going to fix itself. But I will tell you that it's interesting to have a mayor of color and a head of police of color at this point, because they're doing everything they can to fix this. And it's not a white problem or a black problem. It's an everybody problem, you know, and that's everybody. So I don't think there's a quick fix. I think moving forward, I don't know. You know, there's not a thing you can do, but just to try to learn from it, make it a little bit better.
Absolutely. And just like you said, of course, there's definitely not a quick fix. But we know, just like we have so many leaders and protesters and people looking for the answer or looking to how to make things better or make things right, we definitely have to be proactive. We know what a lot of the problems are. We have to be able to do more time and spend more time finding solutions, developing strategies, finding ways to work together. Just like I'm having this conversation with you, we need to have conversations all over America with people that really want to be a part of the solution and not the problem, because at the end of the day, we have to choose to win, and we have to figure out what that actually looks like. But what we already know is what doesn't work. We know that hate cannot defeat hate. That we already know. So we all understand the definition of insanity, and I'm sure everybody's not crazy. So we have to figure out what we can do to be able to make things work. As we close out today, and I know you're driving, you're about to be ID'd and everything, Randy, what else is it, as we share this message with people all over the world, what is it that you like for people to hear from you?
Well, you know, I mean, we obviously aren't anywhere close to where we need to be with racism. And this is evident. And we're obviously nowhere where we're close to near to be when dealing with this, because we still have people that think they can break things up and get angry to fix problems. I mean, I said this to a lot of people, and I said, I wish they just would have just let this play out really, really, really aggressively in the media, in the social media, and trust. You know, we have all these social medias that people trust for everything. They trust it for everything, you know, everything. They follow it like it's the gospel. And these are tools that we have in this society for better and for worse. And they can do very well. And they can help a lot of things, and they can heal a lot of things. They can damage a lot of things as well. And I don't know how in 2020 we take to the streets to destroy what we've all built, opposed to using the tools to educate, to fix things, to correct things. Why do we go back to, you know, a breaking things like cavemen and stuff, opposed to using the tools that we have available to us? That's what blows my mind. I mean, we have all these beautiful things and technologies and advancements, and these advancements are to advance our causes, our daily causes, our personal causes, our humanitarian causes. That's what they're there for. That's why these genius minds created of them. So why do we abandon those and go to this? You know, that's just – I hope we can just start being as smart as we are and not going backwards and not being primitive, okay? The stuff that every city is going through right now is prehistoric. It's animalistic. It's emotional urges opposed to thinking it through and being patient, letting the law take its course, and believing in the systems and so on and so forth. And that's hard coming from a guy like me who thinks the system sucks. Excuse my expression. But, I mean, you know, the officers that are involved in this right now, and I don't know all the details of the case, but they are convicted, basically. They have been convicted by the media. And that might be just, and it might be the way it goes down, but why don't we use the same media, the same tools we have to better ourselves? So it's just disappointing that we abandoned all that stuff and went back to, you know, 1940, 1950, 1960 tactics.
Randy, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right, I thought we lost you, but no, I definitely understand. And I definitely appreciate you
coming on here today and sharing that information. I'm pretty sure when you woke up Saturday morning and saw the damages at your own building with the door kicked in and the vehicles vandalized, that's when stuff hit home, like literally. And so many other people have woken up to that experience. And we have to find a way to be able to move forward. One of our goals is to find ways to be a part of the solution. And, of course, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen easy. But we have to start talking. We have to work on ways to be able to strengthen families. We have to teach people. We have to be able to advance our mind. We have to reach out to people that need help, and we got to be able to serve in our communities. And that's what our vision here is with Another Chance. And we need help to be able to continue to do that all across the world because everyone is affected by it. And as we close out today, I just really want to say and give a moment of silence to the Floyd family and anyone else that have lost a loved one due to the violence of police brutality. We are aware that it is a problem. And as we can find ways to work together, hopefully we'll be able to be wise enough to work together and be able to put some solutions in place so we won't have to continue taking steps back and we can take steps forward. Randy, once again, I really appreciate you. And I appreciate you leaving the meeting, hopping on the call and sharing this information. And we have a lot of work to do. So together we can, you and I can reach some more people and we can continue to do that. So thank you for that in advance.
No, I appreciate you being on. And we just all need to understand that we're all in this together. I literally mean that we are all in this together.
Literally. Absolutely. Well, until the next time, thank you for your time. I look forward to talking to you soon. And we definitely appreciate you as well.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.